cares and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish and burdens can stay. Brother David Henderson, would you take us a little word of prayer?
Good Lord, thank you tonight. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you for such a passion tonight, Lord, to bring the message. We so stand in need of. Lord, just thank you for a wonderful day in your house. Lord, that shall continue to keep your hand on our church. Protect us, keep us safe, Lord, everything going on outside this church and in this world. We ask you for a special touch. Thank you for this day.
Amen. Church, would you stand with us? Turn over to page 120 if you need it. Let's sing Victory in Jesus.
I
see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And I think the children's home may still be traveling and maybe trying to still get back here this evening. So pray the Lord just keep them all safe and bring them back safely to us. Please remember the announcements. You want to make those right quick one more time?
All right, there's a sign-up sheet. This is for the seniors age 50 and over. And it's 1 week from tomorrow night, Monday night, December the 12th. We're going to meet here at the church at 4:50. CJ is going to drive the bus for us. Then we're going to go to Sack Burgers and have dinner together. And then from there, we'll go to the Portwood family Christmas lights and just enjoy each other's time. That's it.
And on December the 18th, we're having our CLU Christmas. We'll have lunch right after the service and fellowship together. There's a sign-up sheet if you want to come, and I think for food and stuff. Did you put that? Okay. And we're going to do just between a $10 and $15 gift. So you just bring a gift, and we'll switch a roux or play a game. We'll make it fun. So hope that you guys can make it.
And I'd like to say we would really appreciate your prayers. During the Christmas season, the Christmas time, it seems like everyone's going 100 miles an hour in 100 different directions. Would you agree? Amen. And with all that said, as a choir, we're trying our best to try and do things for the Lord. On that same morning of the COU, we'll have our Christmas program, if you will, as far as the choir goes, on the 18th. And we're trying our best to make ourselves ready. We have a new song that we are going to try our best to throw into the mix. So please pray. And David's probably looking at me right now really funny because I don't know if I told him about it till now. But did I tell you? Did I send it?
Sure.
That's what I thought. Amen. Good man right there. Yes, sir. But we are going to try our best to make things ready for Christmas. So with that said, please pray that we can find some time for probably some extra practice and everything between now and then. So just pray for us, the Lord, so he'd be pleased with our efforts, because we want to worship him. Amen. He gave his son to die for us. The least we can do is worship and praise him every opportunity we get. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. What a great day we've had today. Some probably never even got to go home. I didn't go home, but I did appreciate being able to spend some time with my family and some of our church folks, and I love you all. Appreciate you for all you do. Let's go to him again tonight in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity we've had today to be in your house and to be around your people and choir practice this afternoon. Everyone seems to be working so hard to try just to be, Lord, all that we can be for you, because you're worthy. And Lord, I pray that you just, Lord, be with everything that goes on during the holiday season. Lord, keep us all safe. As CJ spoke a couple of weeks ago, Lord, it's so hard to think that I'm afraid so many times we take for granted just being able to go somewhere, to make it back home safely. Lord, we take that for granted so many times, I'm afraid. But Lord, we pray that you would keep us all safe during this season. Lord, as everyone travels everywhere, trying to get to family events and Lord, church events and school events. And Lord, I pray that you just keep us safe. And Lord, I pray that again that you just be with us tonight. Lord, as the choir sings a brand new song, Lord, I pray that you'd be with us. Receive glory and honor for all that's done. And bless this offering, Lord, for your kingdom and Lord, for the church. You know exactly what's needed. In Jesus' name, amen.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. To sermons can be preached about this Jesus. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see no way. He makes a way. And did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him. That's all.
Appreciate that tonight. Thank you, Miss Christy. I tell you, when it comes to expressing your love for the Lord, and then others start expressing their love for the Lord through praise, things can start happening all of a sudden in church. And tremendous blessing. Did I mention? What a song. What a song. And hope everybody's had a good afternoon this afternoon. And already we're at the threshold of a brand new week. And so real Mondays we're facing out there. Real Tuesdays and Wednesdays. There's a real devil out there. But things are a little different for the believer, isn't it? We have the ability to overcome. And according to the Bible, we are already overcomers. And so it's all about getting the right perspective on things in life. And anyway, maybe we had a little trouble with the camera. My dad trying to call me. I've gotten on to him so much. And he's over there. Probably him, I'm guessing. And people know for the last, been pastoring going on 15 years, I guess, altogether. So the last 20 years being saved, last 20 years on every Sunday night, I'm in church. So it's either my dad or bill collector. But anyway, we won't worry about it. We won't worry about it. Potential spam. That's it. I got to learn how to put that thing on Do Not Disturb. But anyway, we're not going to keep you long tonight, but we do have something to say. And I hope that you'll catch what we have to say. Jeremiah chapter 29 tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 29. And we got it here on the first row. Jeremiah chapter number 29, and we're not sharing a Christmas-related message tonight. We did that this morning, and we did it on Wednesday, then last Sunday night. And Lord willing, we'll pick that back up next Sunday morning. But I want to share something with you out of Jeremiah chapter number 29. And let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and just read verse number 1. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you tonight for all things, Lord. I pray this evening, God, that something will be said, something will be given that we can chew on, so to speak, as we go our separate ways tonight and walk into our new days tomorrow. That is, you give us life to live tomorrow. And Father, I pray by the time we leave that we could all have said that it was good and peaceful, encouraging being at church tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. I want to stop reading there, verse number 1 of Jeremiah 29. We know that this is a letter or a book wrote by Jeremiah. These words are words that God gave him, and of course he being the prophet of God, a prophet of God, are given these words over in book form, this letter over to the captives that are in captivity in Babylon. And we know that these that were carried away captive were God's people. In verse number 1, it mentions several kinds of people, but it does say, unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives. It mentions priests, prophets. And so it was God's people that were carried away captive by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And no doubt these men and women, God's people, were weary. No doubt they were tired. They were weary. And they were ready to be released from captivity. And tonight, just for a few moments with that thought in mind, I want to preach a few moments on this subject, a word for the weary. A word for the weary. Now, the Bible says that 70 years they were going to be in captivity. And can you imagine how tiresome you would be? Can you imagine how wearisome it would get? Can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar and his evil men making sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that is, in captivity, whatever that is? And so no doubt they were weary. And Jeremiah, he receives word from God, writes this letter, and I want to say tonight that there are four words that Jeremiah gave to these that were weary that was supposed to be an encouragement to them. And I want to share these four words with you tonight, a word for the weary, four words that are used to encourage God's people when they were in captivity, and I want to try to share the same message to you. The first word is explanation. Explanation. Notice, if you will, in verse number 4, in verse number 4, he says this in chapter 29, verse 4, he says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives," listen to this, "whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." And so the first part of this word to the weary was a word of explanation. Now, in their minds, Nebuchadnezzar was the one that kicked the door in and his men and arrested them and had them carried away to Babylon, and they were captive and they were going to be there for 70 years. And so, in their mind's eye, they're focusing on the enemy. They're focusing on Nebuchadnezzar and what he did. But Jeremiah wanted it to be made clear who the real person was who allowed this to happen. Jeremiah says, again in verse number 4, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." And so tonight, this explaining word, it actually edified God's people, because it let them know that God ultimately was the culprit. God was the one who allowed Nebuchadnezzar to kick the door in and take everybody to the land of Babylon. Now, it must be noted that the children of Israel committed sin as a nation, and so there needed to be correction. And so God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and his men to make this arrest of God's people. But he wanted to encourage them. He wanted to let them know that ultimately it was God who allowed it to happen. Now, in life at times, whether it's through some act of disobedience that we have caused, that the Lord is chastening us because of our act of disobedience, or there was no act of disobedience, it was just the divine providence of God. He has allowed some things to happen and put us in the pressure cooker. That's actually encouraging to know who the author is. Either way, whether it's through obedience we're in the pressure cooker, or whether it's through disobedience we're in the pressure cooker, at the end of the day, the devil is not in charge. God is. And so Jeremiah is encouraging these men and these women, these priests and these prophets and everybody involved, that while Nebuchadnezzar was the man who drug him out of the house, so to speak, it was God, the one who had commissioned him to do so. And so we see a word of explanation here. Jeremiah made clear who it was. I think the day and time in which we live, we give the devil far too much credit as to why things happen the way that they do. Someone says, well, the devil did this and the devil did that. And no doubt the devil does have free reign of the air. The world we live in, he's the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. He is given that right for a short time. And no doubt the devil is doing things and he is making havoc and he is ruining lives. But the devil cannot ruin any life unless the person follows through with it. He is the one who tempts. He is the one who tries to entice us to sin. But the devil gets far too much credit tonight. I think next time, before we start pointing fingers and saying, well, the devil did this, the devil did that, God just might be trying to line things up and do something special. Now, again, in this verse, we see that Jeremiah, he explains that ultimately it was God that allowed them to be taken captive. And so tonight, this encouraging word, or this word for the weary, has to do with explanation. And that is, the devil isn't always the one who gets the credit. Sometimes God is the one who's initiating things. Though it may seem evil and though it may seem cruel, sometimes the Lord is the one who is commissioning the situation. And so we see a word of explanation. And then we see a word of instruction. Notice, if you will, in verse number 5. He says, "Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. This is a word of instruction. And again, this is Jeremiah's word for the weary. And what he does is he gives him a twofold word of instruction. The first word of instruction that he gives them has to do with being patient. Notice what he tells them to do. He says, build houses. He says, build houses. He says, dwell in those houses. He says, plant a garden. He says, eat the fruit of the garden. So what is Jeremiah saying? Keep in mind that they're weary. They are in captivity and they're ready to go home. And the word that gets back to them is this. Oh, hold on. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. Go ahead and build a house. Go ahead and plant a garden. And so he's telling them, you've got to be patient in the area of life that you're in. You know, James speaks a lot about patience. The book of James chapter 1, don't turn there, but verses number 2 through 4, he talks about being in various trials. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, diverse temptations. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He talks about patience, and he talks about our patience being tried and our patience being tested. And so sometimes in life we find ourselves wearied out. We find ourselves in a place where we want things to change. We want things to be different. We are weary. We are restless. But if we're following God with all of our heart, sometimes the requirement is patience. Now, he says, build ye houses and dwell in them. I got to thinking about that today. To be in captivity like they were, and to change your mindset from wanting to go home to staying and building a house, that's a big change of perception. That's a big change of mindset. The longer they focused on leaving, the harder the stay was. And so Jeremiah writes this and he tells them, God said, you've got to be patient. Don't focus on your leaving. Focus on grabbing what God wants you to grab while you're staying. He says, build a house. And I got to thinking about today, if God told them to build houses, evidently there was strength enough, there was the equipping of the strength to build those houses. You say, what are you saying, Brother Justin? I'm saying this, that while they were in captivity and while they were weary, God would still enable them to be patient. And you're here tonight and you're in a place of waiting and you want to get out and you want to run and you want to fly and you want to do all these things that everybody wants to do for your betterment. Sometimes you just have to be patient. But God gives grace and God gives strength to be patient. He says, no, listen, I know you want to go home. Don't go home. Go to Home Depot and buy one of those 5-gallon orange buckets that I seem to buy every time I go in there because it's good to carry your purchases in, you know. He says, go to Home Depot. Get going home out of your mind. There's some things I want to accomplish while you're in captivity. Go to Home Depot, buy you a tape measure, a hammer, and some nails. and go measure you out a nice spot. And when you're ready, get your wood and your supplies, take it day by day, and start building. And one of the things I believe the Lord wanted to teach them during their time of waiting in captivity is that God can provide necessary strength and mindset to make it each and every day. So many people are throwing in the towels tonight and quitting and just easing up in their walk with the Lord. And listen, I'm not exempt from that. I'm tempted many times to just do like a lot of people are doing, ease up, go through the motions, and you know how it is being human and things like that. But God keeps showing me that while things may not be, and I'm talking about more than just church, I'm talking about family things and home things, and while things may not be ship-shaped like you want them, focus on me and focus on this time of waiting and being patient. God has just proven to me that He can empower me to do what He wants me to do during a time when there's nothing left to do than just wait. Each and every day that we live, we have responsibilities, we have places to be, things to do, and we can't always be thinking about what we don't have. I have to be present, not only in body, but in mind, every morning to take my daughter to school, talk to my wife. Each and every day, I need to be not only present in body, but in mind, to answer the phone when it calls and someone has a dilemma. And so I can't be focusing on things I don't have or things that aren't going my way. I need to focus on now. And sometimes it's hard to focus on now, but God gives strength to focus on now. God gives the ability to take it one day at a time. God gives the ability to change our mindset and our perception on things and say, hey, we may be here a while, so I want to be patient. I want to go to Home Depot. I want to get me a hammer. I want to get me some nails. I want to focus on what God has at task today. That's what the Scripture is saying. Jeremiah says, build ye houses. Dwell in them. Pick you out your furniture. Your appliances. Go to the Food Depot, get some groceries. Some of y'all are like, why'd you pick Food Depot? Food Depot, hey, that's one of my favorites. Me and my mom used to go to Food Depot all the time growing up. When I was growing up. Get yourself in there and focus on the Lord being your provider. And He will get you through the days. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruit thereof. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. He's talking about 70 years. That's a long time. 70 years. And so, really, the message there is, make the best of it. Make the best of it. Some of you, I feel like a broken record, really, but that's where we're at. Some of you are in not so pleasant circumstances, but you got to make the best of it. You've got to make the best of it. He says, drop anchor, stay a while. It's going to be a while. Learn to rely on me, learn to seek me. I'll provide you that strength to build your houses. So we see a word of instruction here. And the first word of instruction has to do with patience. And then let me move along. The second word is perception, having to do with this word of instruction, perception. You say, what do you mean? Well, we spoke about that just now, but I want to go a step further. In verse number 8, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Listen to this. Neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And so the second part of instruction not only has to do with patience, but perception. God, through Jeremiah, says, don't listen to your dreams. Wow, there were fortune tellers and diviners coming through there and saying, $5, $5. Come on, I'll tell you your future. Of course, this is, y'all know I'm putting my play on this. And so here, $5, man, I need a word. Oh, I'm a prophet. We'll figure all this out. And they put their hand over like this, and they start humming. 2 weeks, you're out of here. Woo! 2 weeks. Going home. Y'all hear that? We're going to be out of here in 2 weeks. Going to sleep, twiddling your toes, and thinking, man, 2 weeks, when I get back home to Jerusalem, which is what I want to do. I want to do this. I'm going to go visit so-and-so. We're going to do this as a family. 2 weeks rolls around. Ain't nobody going home. Don't get mad at God. It wasn't God that said it. God, through Jeremiah, said, listen, there are some false prophets. They prophesy falsely. There's diviners and all the rest who try to tell fortunes and trying to tell you when you're going to be out of here. And they believed it so much, they dreamed about it. Oh, I could just see us going home. He said, we're going home. I paid him $5. He better be right. We're going home. They're dreaming about going home. Dreaming about a house back in Jerusalem. Dreaming about a dog running through the field real slow. Their puppy dog. And, you know, all this crazy stuff. Y'all know I watch so many movies. And they wake up and nothing's happened. Jeremiah says, don't listen to your dreams. Don't listen to your dreams. The very next verse he says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. I have to say this tonight. I have to say it. Are some of the things we're dreaming about? Do we have dreams tonight? Do we have aspirations? Do we have goals? My question is this. Are they from God or are they from us? That's the question. Are our dreams, are our goals, are they from God or are they from us? Because these people were in a jam. They were tired. They were weary. They wanted to go home. And someone comes along and says, hey, you'll be going home in 2 weeks. But over here, God's word says 70 years. Man, I got to get my perception right. I've got to. And so ultimately he says, don't listen to those false prophets. Don't listen to those who are saying that you're going home. Don't listen to your dreams. You know, some dreams we don't need to listen to tonight. I've never really heard a message entitled, don't listen to your dreams, but there is Bible in there. We got to make sure that what we're dreaming about. And if it is, then keep after it. If it's not, then it's time to throw away those dreams. Let me move on. A couple more things, I'll be through. Won't be long. Talk about a word for the weary. There was an explanation. There was a word of instruction. Now there's a word of exhortation. In verse number 10, he tells them 70 years, when it's accomplished, I will visit you and bring you home. So they had a hope. They had a future. They had something to look forward to. They couldn't focus on the here and the now. They had to focus on the later and the later. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is a word of exhortation. This is a specific word of encouragement. Notice the word think here. For I know the thoughts or the plans that I think towards you. I like that word think. That word think means to plait. It means to twist, as it were, three pieces of rope together. It means to interpenetrate. It means to weave. To weave. For I know the thoughts, or I know the plans that I weave towards you. I know the thoughts that I plant towards you. I know the thoughts that I interpenetrate towards you. What is he talking about? I thought about a story I heard one time of a tapestry. Of how a man was given a tour of a rug factory. And he walked in the rug factory and he looked up and all he seen was all these spindles and threads of all these different colors just going, just hundreds of them on these spindles going across the entire ceiling almost of the tapestry, the rug factory. And he said, "What's all of that?" He said, "Come my way and I'll show you. Let me take you up a little higher." And so they went up to the loft and they overlooked, and of course it was creating a beautiful rug. Hundreds of rugs were being created, and it was all of those different threads coming together that down below you could not tell, but up above you could tell. You say, "Brother Justin, what's God doing in my life tonight?" He is weaving together his plan for you. He is weaving it together. He says, "I know the thoughts, I know the plans that I think towards you, for I know the plans that I'm weaving towards you." He's weaving these things. He's working it out, Brother Harold. Sometimes we agree with it and sometimes we don't. And we're not in agreement with it, but he is weaving it together. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the plans that I'm weaving towards you." And so we see a word of exhortation. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The last word tonight is the word expectation. We mentioned the word exhortation, now the word expectation. And verse number 10, verse number 11, verse number 14, Jeremiah tells them to be expecting a completion to their trial. We mentioned it already in verse 10, the Lord said after 70 years. Verse number 11, we see that God's working all things together for good. He has plans to give them, the Bible says, an expected end. Something that's not evil, something that's peaceful, although it's the opposite at that present moment. It's evil and it's not peaceful. And then in verse number 14 he says, "And I will be found of you." Of course, this is on the heels of verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." And so he gives them a word of expectation. He says, this trial will come to an end. And so we see here that the word expected in verse number 11, this word expected means hope or future. So he's telling them, "I'm not doing this. I didn't allow Nebuchadnezzar to come in and kick your door in and arrest you and take you to Babylon. I'm not doing that to be evil or mean towards you, but ultimately I have a plan as to why. There's some things you're going to learn in Babylon. Yes, you sinned, and because of your disobedience, you're going there. But while I have you there, I want to teach you some things. I want to teach you how to have patience. I want to teach you that you can do some things such as build houses, do the incredible when you couldn't even stay at a place for one day without looking for the exit sign." He said, "I got some things I want to teach you there." He says, "But it's all going to come to an end. I have a hope for you. I have a future for you. It's not to be, my first option is for you not to stay in your place of struggle. That's not my first option." So he says, "I have a hope, I have a future. Not of evil, to give you an expected end, a hopeful future, a good future, Now, a couple little notes and I'll be through if they want to make their way this way. The future tells them that their history as a people is not over. All right? Their history tells them. God says 70 years. And then there's going to be life after. Whoever remains, that is. He says, have sons and daughters so your seed can continue. Their life wasn't over. The future tells them that their, speaking of Israel, their history as a people is not over. The hope is that there is a better time for them awaiting. And there was a better time waiting them upon their release of captivity. It would soon come. They would be back in their homeland. I wrote this down today. To wait for that future instead of trusting in immediate release would be true wisdom for these exiles. Think about that. That's so hard to be learned. To wait for that future, to wait for the future instead of trusting in immediate release would be true wisdom for those exiles. I believe that'll be a good bit of wisdom for us as well. Is look down the road. Trust God with the future. But while we are where we are now, swing that hammer. Plant those gardens. Seek peace while we may be able to seek peace and pursue it. God equips us. He gives us the resources to be patient. I feel like tonight that the word was just a word for the weary, but also just to kind of slow us down a little bit. It's going to be a while. Sometimes God's wheels turn slow, but they are turning. Don't get it wrong. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Pray that you give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray, you come. Anyone tonight?
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Singing tonight. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. And some, like Brother Allen said, have been here all day, been in the area all day. And so thank you for hanging around. Let me mention a couple things briefly. Next Sunday night, we have one order of business we need to take care of. And so we'll have just a brief in and out conference-like meeting, but just one order of business, budget and finance. We need to take care of for 2021 and 2022, which we're about to go into 2023 soon, and so we need to take care of that too. Need to vote on the proposed budget for the one we're coming out of and the one we're going into. And I get that right, Brother Celon? Okay. So remember this, next Sunday night, it'll be brief, won't be long. And so remember that. Also, Christmas communion. Again, much of what we're going to do is going to be on the 18th, the Sunday before, because Christmas is on Sunday. And I know people do, some people have prearranged plans. Of course, no disrespect to Christmas being on Sunday, But what we are going to have on Sunday, we'll have some music, but also we'll have Christmas communion on Sunday, on Christmas Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. We have all of our disposable prepackaged cups, the juice and the bread, so remember that. And please remember the Christmas offering and our annual Christmas offering. We'll have the offering plates for that ready and to give to the Lord. And on the account of the Lord giving His Son. So remember that. All right. My mind's about shot for the day. Has anybody got anything they want to mention before I shut it down? All right. Well, so good to see you all day today. It's been a good day in God's house. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother CJ, would you do so, sir?